right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Sussman.
Everybody, welcome. It's Mark Sussnow. You're listening to the Inspire Possibilities Show, the show that makes a difference. And hopefully you'll be inspired to do something great, be inspired to have the courage to make changes in your life. And every week I have people I consider cutting edge thought leaders, people who have studied certain ideas, certain concepts, many of whom have written a book. And today I'm privileged to have Kate Lunn on the show. She's written a book called Bounce, Help Your Child Build Resilience and Thrive in School, Sports, and Life. And she's a psychologist. She's been doing this work for a long time. And I was just talking to her off air, and the information I got from her publicist, what we would get out of this interview, and again, it's Dr. Kate Lunn will discuss how to raise a resilient and confident child. This book was written for children, but as I started to really look at some of the highlights of what her publicist said, we're tolerating frustration and managing emotions now. Wouldn't you love to be better at tolerating frustration and managing emotions? And what about the other bullet point was navigating friendships and social pressure? We all would love to be better at navigating friendships and being better with social situations and developing courage. I mean, do you know anybody in the whole world that wouldn't like more courage, especially courage to change? So it's my great honor to welcome Dr. Kate Lunn to the Inspire Possibility Show.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Good. So we're going to have a great conversation, and so tell us a little bit about how it came to be that you wrote this book, Bounce.
Right. Yes, that's a great question. And, you know, the book really brings together three of my main focuses in my life, sort of my own journey in becoming resilient as a child as the result of a serious medical condition that I grew up with called hydrocephalus. Caused me to be out of school a lot, be hospitalized a lot, that sort of thing. And I really had to find ways, with the help of my family, my support system, to move through and beyond those challenges so that I could really find ways to focus on my strengths and live my life. So that's sort of where my early interest in this idea of resilience comes from. And then, of course, I became a psychologist, a clinical psychologist, and, you know, lots of opportunity there, obviously, to focus on the issue of resilience and help my patients and my clients to become more resilient, overcome their own challenges, that sort of thing. And then my life as a mom, tops it off in terms of watching
the biggest challenge, right?
Exactly. My own children overcome challenges, celebrate triumphs, that sort of thing. So it's from those three angles that I've written this book.
Uh-huh. So resilience, I mean, that is just so important. I've done a lot of this work, and I've talked to a lot of people. And actually, I did a training years ago called the Hoffman Process, and it's all about, you know, these patterns that we develop in childhood. All these things that we have, we inherit from our parents, consciously or subconsciously, and it's just all of these things here are. it's, I mean, that's where things start, is in our childhood. And so many adults, right, have these issues with resilience and courage. So let's talk about resilience. How would you work with somebody now? And is your book discuss this, how with children, how do you help them develop more resilience?
Right. Yeah, that's a great question. And so resilience is such a broad area, right? And broadly defined, it's, you know, the ability to move through and beyond challenge. And resilience is so important, as you mentioned, because, you know, it helps us to build inner strength, really makes it possible for children to manage those challenges as they come up and understand what's possible for them and understand what they have to do to get there. So you ask how we build this into children, help them to develop resilience, so to speak. And I outline that in the book in these seven pillars. And you mentioned a couple of them up front, tolerating frustration and managing emotions. So, so important. Because if a child is overwrought by their frustration, their emotion, they're going to shut down, right? And so we need to teach them the skills to manage those things, manage the frustration, manage the emotion through any number of mindfulness techniques, role play, that sort of thing, to really get a hold of themselves in the moment so they can continue to move forward despite, you know, a setback or a challenge or an emotional situation. So that's one thing that we would do for sure.
So do you do with the kids you work with in your practice? Do you do role playing with them to help them with resilience?
Yeah, you know, to tolerate frustration, manage emotions, we might do some role play. I also have a number of mindfulness based techniques that I'll teach them, and we'll use sort of integrating how it feels to be in a calmer, more coherent state in the office, practice it such that they can call it up in their life when, for example, they're sitting in class and all of a sudden that math problem that's staring them in the face is so much more challenging than it was the night before when they were practicing it in homework, and suddenly now there's a test and they can't do it. And, you know, things start to unravel. They start getting frustrated, emotional. And, you know, oftentimes in those situations, kids will just shut down. So they need to have some tools in their toolbox, so to speak, to be able to calm themselves when these things start to happen, such that they can bring themselves back into the moment and keep moving forward on that challenging math problem.
And that's how most people today, whether they're children or adults or all of us, our practices, there's so much now of of the word mindfulness in our language. I mean, you could almost see it on a television commercial for a hamburger. Get a mindful burger. I mean, it's amazing how the word is so overused. But what would you say to other people, for example? Because again, I mentioned that, you know, my program is really, you know, for adults, and I just thought that some of the tools, we learn these tools, the more we can learn them as children, the better off we're going to be as adults. So what about this idea, let's go back to optimism. Some people I think are just naturally optimistic, but I think it can be learned. What's your feeling about that?
Absolutely. It's a great point, Mark, because the thing is, you know, optimism is definitely something that we can learn. It's definitely something that we can help instill in our kids early because, you know, things can obviously feel so hopeless. The reality is that challenge is real, but if we can help kids and adults also, really, but to shift the sort of lens that they're looking through and kind of try to focus on what did go right in our day first before focusing on the challenges, we don't want to negate the realities of the challenges, but we want to really highlight the things that went well and figure out how we can build on those things such that then those things become bigger than the challenges. Obviously, learning how to manage the challenges is very important. Challenge is real. But if we can shift that lens from the get-go, it can be very, very helpful in the development of optimism over time. And that really helps in terms of building our fundamental sense of resilience.
So we have developing optimism. Yeah, it is great with resilience. I mean, it's sometimes... So what would you do? Do you have any particular practices that you would advise? Because I'm sure in your practice you work with adults too about developing optimism and to be more resilient. Do you have any particular practices? I mean, what would be helpful is to share with our listeners something, a tool that they can use in their everyday life.
Sure. Well, absolutely. So what we would suggest is this idea of really trying to cultivate a sense of gratitude by taking some time each day to write about or talk about what one is grateful for each day. What happened that was good? Why am I grateful for that? And doing that over time really helps to sort of cultivate this overarching sense of gratitude, which then sort of morphs into an overall sense of optimism. So there's the gratitude focus, gratitude journaling, we call it. And with kids and adults, too, we can do this. We can create what we call a gratitude jar. We can write down that thing that we're grateful for, put it in a jar, and then look at what we've put in the jar at the end of each week or the end of each month and really see how those things can have a cumulative effect on our overall sense of kind of gratefulness, gratitude, well-being, and that all then morphs into this greater sense of optimism. You know, and also just talking about, kind of pinpointing through discussion with family, friends, a coach, a mentor, you know, the things that did go well. That's really, really important because it's so easy for all of us in our day-to-day to really focus on the things that perhaps didn't go as well as we would have liked or flat out went badly. And those become right. These big, glaring red lights in front of us. And we really want to try to shift our lens and focus on the good first and the challenge second.
One thing, Kate, that I do that I, you know, write about and recommend to people I work with is part of the, you know, the meditation and gratitude is to ask, to be curious and to ask yourself a question, which is, I wonder what the highlight of my day is going to be. So you start out the day and rather than, you know, because sometimes we're starting the day and we might have a meeting or something we're not looking forward to. But you ask yourself, you're in that question, I wonder what the highlight of my day is going to be. You can even make it about the meeting. I wonder what the highlight of that meeting is going to be. Because you're anticipating initially, before I started doing this practice, what you don't like about it. I'm dreading this meeting. I'm going to have to deal with this situation. I'm not comfortable about it. I don't like this person. But if you're in that other question, I wonder what the highlight's going to be. It shifts your focus, so you're thinking about the possibility rather than what can go wrong. And so that's I like to do that as part of the overall thing about developing optimism, an expectation of good, something good is going to happen. And I think that's a good one too. You to kind of integrate with the kids. And hey, what do you, I used to do that with my kids. I would do at the end of the day, I say, if you know, what was the most special thing that happened this day? And quite often they go, nothing. And I go, well, something was, what was it? You know?
Yes. I love it. That's great. Yeah, sort of shifting that sort of positive expectation to the beginning
yes.
of the day as opposed to
yes.
looking at it from the other side. I love it. And
yes.
you know, fits so well with the overall idea of resilience too and optimism, because really with both of those things, we're looking at possibility and resilience. Optimism obviously really helps us to see what's possible and also helps us to see what we need to do to get there, to make that thing possible.
Absolutely. So what else? What are some of your other pillars?
Well, so this notion of navigating friendship and social pressure is a really important one as well. And that really applies across the lifespan, as do all of the pillars that I lay out in the book. And we touched on that at the beginning. But, you know, particularly with kids, but with all of us, you know, we face a lot of social pressures. And so we need to know how to be a friend. And at the same time, we need to know how to, you know, stand up for ourselves and our beliefs when friendships maybe go off track. So all of this is really grounded in those basic skills of emotional intelligence, you know, self-awareness, the ability to understand and accept individual difference among peers and among, you know, all of us, whatever age we are, is so, so important. So really helping folks to develop that strong social-emotional foundation is a big piece of the work that I do. It's pillar number two in terms of building that resilience into one's way of being. So really, really important point there.
And then what's pillar number three? You have seven, right?
Yes. So I've got seven, yeah. Right. And the third pillar is sustaining focus and attention. And that's really about setting goals and, you know, longer term, larger goals. And then smaller, sort of more focused, smart goals on the way to that larger goal, and really learning how to focus and attend to what we have to do to meet those goals and to make that thing that we want to attain possible. So that's a really, really important piece because it really helps us to get back up when we fall down if we stay focused on what we're really trying to achieve in the long run. So that's a really important thing.
Yeah. Do you find that some people are resistant to having goals?
What I find is that sometimes folks want to achieve the end goal without taking the necessary steps to get there. And can often end up frustrated and disappointed and feeling like a failure when they haven't achieved what they were hoping to achieve. But the piece that was missed was that there are numerous smaller goals on the way to that larger goal and the importance of, you know, trying and trying again from a different angle. You know, is important, and staying focused and attentive on what we ultimately want to achieve is the important piece. And sometimes that takes a bit of time to integrate into one's way of thinking and being. Yeah. Yeah.
So what about the fourth one?
Right. So the fourth one is, you know, this idea of developing courage. And,
I like courage.
You know, courage is huge. Courage is a huge piece of resilience, right? Because, you know, helping kids to take that first step forward and do something that they feel might be scary or out of reach. And then with sort of within a supportive framework to help them to try again, perhaps from a different angle if they don't succeed the first time. And over time, and by the way, that's helpful for all of us because there are things probably that we all want to do in our lives that feel scary or out of reach. And
right.
How do we get ourselves to take that first step forward?
Right. And I think
very important piece.
Yeah, what stops a lot of people is the fear. It stops them.
Exactly.
And rather than having the courage to do it with the fear. A lot of people think, well, they don't want to do something. If they have fear, they just don't want to do it. They're afraid, well, they might fail. They might get hurt. And but courage is huge. I mean, I always have an acronym. I've written in one of my books about fear as false evidence appearing real.
Love it. Yes.
Yes, that's the one I use. And people get this idea, so they don't do it. They let the fear stop them. And it, mm-hmm. what's important is for you to have the fear.
Yes.
Because if you do it and have the fear, that's what courage is, I think, anyway. And you want to add to that?
Yeah, well, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I do think that's what courage is. And so helping kids to overcome that fear by trying new things and pushing their limits, you know, backed by encouragement and support is, I think, a really important piece there. You know, to really help the child take that first step forward, or any of us for that matter. And again, I do work with adults as well on these same principles. So that's how we would work with that. And then this idea of, you know, helping kids and all of us really to address the fear of failure and manage our expectations.
Right. That's huge.
That's another huge piece, because that can really stop folks in their tracks. And it's often not conscious, this idea of, you know, fear of failure. And, well, might as well not even try, since I'm not going to be able to do it anyway. And, you know, that's a really important paradigm to sort of shift, to help people take that step forward, push the limits of that fear of failure as a way of becoming more resilient. And of course, embedded in that is this idea of encouragement towards taking risks, pushing comfort zones, that sort of thing, and really helping folks to manage expectations, you know, because not everybody is coming from the same place. Not everybody has the same aptitudes and skills, and really sort of to try to put all of that into context and help folks to succeed and develop their potential and reach their potential within their own unique context. I think that's a really important point.
So what about this idea of potential? How do you really gauge what someone's potential is?
Right. Well, you know, it's got a lot to do with, you know, one's aptitudes, one's skills, sort of where they're coming from. What are their passions? What are their strengths? And how do we really foster those, sort of help folks to hone in on them, identify them, and then foster those in a way that we're helping folks move towards their potential. So let's say that, you know, a parent really has, you know, a dream for their child to be a baseball player, but they're not actually very good at baseball, but they have this real talent in art. And, you know, that starts to become clear over time. And they do more and more art, and they're suddenly within the context of art developing aspects of themselves and developing overall as an individual and developing within their passion. And that, I believe, is really what drives one towards their potential, that type of a thing.
It's interesting. You had mentioned baseball, and last week, my guest was Buddy Biancalana, that was a World Series star in 1985. And so I asked him. I said, "Well, when did you first get this idea? You know, when did it first come up about being a baseball player? Because a lot of kids are, you know, a lot of boys are, you know, a lot of boys want to be athletes. I did, and." So he said, "My mother reminds me that when I was 5 years old, I said, Mom, should I play for the Dodgers before I go to college, or should I go to college and then play for the Dodgers? He was 5 years old.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. And sure enough, he became a star, you know, and in 85, he was like a real celebrity after the World Series. He had a great series and just exceeded regular level of play, because he talks about getting in the zone. But what about what about kids with this idea of how to help them see, again, in terms of, you know, these expectations about believing in themselves? Do you do anything in particular with them or adults about how do you get them to believe in themselves? I think that's what I find a lot of us need to do, is to really believe in ourselves. And what would you suggest to people out there to help them? Because when you believe in yourself, you're more confident. And even if you have that fear, you'll go for it because you believe you have the goods. And how can you teach that? Because as I said before, a small percentage of people have that, are born with it.
Right.
But how can you teach that? Because I know that some of the psychologists talk a lot about learned optimism, and I'm trying to think of this psychologist who is that that talks? I'm sure you know who it is.
Martin Seligman.
Yes. So what about this idea of learned optimism? How can you instill, again, or is it you just can't isolate it, just all of it?
Right. Well, you know, what we want to do is really help folks and kids in particular, and then it'll kind of spiral through the age ranges, but to get in touch with their small successes along the way, right? And so once folks are internalizing that they have the ability in whatever area to succeed, that will start to foster, it'll act like a seed to foster that sense of belief, that sense of self-efficacy, if you will. And, you know, I'm thinking about a child with dyslexia, for example, who really struggles in the language arts department, really struggles with the learning to read, but they're full of ideas, they're full of skills in other areas, and it's a question of really helping them to get in touch with where their strengths are, such that they can have small successes in those areas of aptitude. And that then fosters a belief in self over time and ultimately will transfer, hopefully, ideally, over to the areas that are more challenging. So it's really helping kids and helping anyone actually, get in touch with the areas that they are strong. How can they use their strengths to succeed in small ways, which will then become bigger ways? And then that sense of self-efficacy and ability will generalize across domains. So it's really starting small and building in terms of success and self-belief.
So building with small successes, developing the confidence to go to the next step. So we're kind of running out of time here, and what I like to do is to ask my guests toward the end of our time together is what inspires you right now?
What inspires me?
Yes. What inspires Kate Lund?
Yeah, so honestly, what we just talked about inspires me. Helping kids, helping people to believe in themselves and to reach their potential really is something that inspires me and is really something that kind of gets me up and drives me forward each day.
Well, I want to thank you, Kate, for being the guest on the Inspire Possibility Show and for your commitment, for your mission to really make children have a better life. I just think it's a stand that you've taken, And it's great. And we need more people like you that are have the courage to put yourself out there and to make it your life's work. So thank you so much for being my guest. And I want to say to you listeners out there, as you know, every week we have other amazing people to share their wisdom with us. And until the meantime, journey on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.